Thank you for thy grace. Thank you for this precious hour, Lord, that we are here to be able to assemble before our Heavenly Father and to worship thee, Father, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And now as we approach thy word, may you just grant us grace, a little golden nugget here and there, to appreciate and understand, Father, your plan and the purpose, O Father, in our life. I ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to finish off today with this series. Now, we closed last week with Ruth. Ruth was an example of our type of the bride of Jesus Christ who was redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. And you know, I believe that everything that we see in the Bible they are patterns. They are just touch and shadows prefiguring our Lord Jesus Christ and His bride. Just that we have seen from the very beginning in the book of Genesis how that God took from the side of Adam after He put him to sleep and took a bride and make a bride for Adam. And the same thing happens on Calvary's cross where from the side of Jesus Christ came for blood and water. That is where the type where the bride was taken, for Christ give His life, spill His blood for atonement for the sins of the bride. Alright, and we know that Ruth was a Moabitess, not an Israelite. She was a woman of Moab. She was a woman of Moab, not a woman living in Moab. Not a Philistine living in Moab, not an Israelite living in Moab. She was actually a woman who was a Moabitess. And it was this that we see that a Gentile, as far as we are concerned, you know, even though Ruth was from descendant from the son of Lot and one of the daughter, you know, the son was called Moab. Even though it was related, of course, to the lineage, of course, to Abraham's side, to the Abraham's father. You know, but still, it's considered a Gentile. As far as if you are not chosen of God from Abraham's line, and from which God will establish the kingdom of Israel, then we are all Gentile, whether you are the Samaritan, whether you are mixed with a Gentile married a woman and the son is born. You know, even though the son has the blood of the mother of Israel, still he's a Gentile. Alright, as long as you're not a Jew, you are a Gentile. So, and we see that it was Naomi who actually manipulated. Now, people don't like the word manipulate. Now, as I said this question the last time, to those that disagree with what we believe here, that Jesus was not born of the egg of marriage. Now, and I said this is that Naomi actually knew what to do. Now, if Naomi did not tell Ruth that she herself had a kinsman, and we know that Ruth married Naomi's son, and that is the only relation. And so Naomi got her kinsman to be a redeemer. And that is the culture that they have. And now the thing is, of course, we know we are Gentiles. So what is our relationship with Jesus? What is our relationship with Jesus? You know, so when we look at kinsmen, as I said last week, I want to look at these few verses of the scripture, then we'll find out what a kinsman really is. Alright? Go to the book of Leviticus chapter 25. As I said, this is also the last time did Ruth know that she had a redeemer? If Naomi didn't tell her, right? Nothing. And if Naomi do not have any other relatives, there will be no kinsman. Isn't it? In the army, do not have a brother or sister or uncle or anybody at all. How would that be a redeemer? So God was showing the type here. Alright. So if you look at Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25 to 28. Will someone read it?
Leviticus chapter 25, verse 25 to 28. If thy brother be waxen poor, and have sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. But if he be then not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the hand of him that hath bought it until the year of Jubilee. And the Jubilee shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession.
So now the word kinsman, the Hebrew word is goel. Alright. And there's a certain obligation. It's all about relation, the bloodline issue, because that's the culture. And there's an obligation of relation having to help one of the relatives to redeem and to help him whenever he's in trouble. And I believe that this is a very common Asian connection among family. When a brother or sister or relative in trouble, we all try to help. Is that right? Even in ancient time, the clansman, as long as you have the same surname, you do it. Okay? It is his duty to do it. So now here we see that about a brother who is poor, you know, sold all his possession, but he has no money to redeem it. But somebody else who's close to him should do it for him. It is his obligation to help him. But if he don't have any kinsman, what then? He got to wait until the year of the Jubilee. Then that will be free. He will be free. But if he is able to redeem himself after a while, he can go and redeem it. Just like you pawn your jewelry. They give you a certain number of days or years or month, whatever. And when you have enough money, you can redeem it back. You see? So we need to understand this kinsman and redeeming issue. Because the word kinsman and redeemer is the same word, goel, in Hebrew. So if you chose to be a kinsman, and if you are a kinsman, your duty is to redeem. Alright. So now go to chapter Leviticus 25, 47 to 49. Alright. Even as required to redeem his relation who is in slavery and things like that. So, Leviticus 25, 47, 48, and 49. Brother KK, will you read it?
And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed against one of his brethren, may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh or kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he be able, he may redeem himself.
Right. Even though a brother or relative is sold in slavery, you are a kinsman, redeem him. You know. And if nobody could redeem him, and then if he's able, he can redeem himself. Kind of odd, huh? How do we redeem ourselves? We can't, in no way. So redeemer here, when we read that very carefully, it's not talking about just the flesh redemption. Because there is a hidden mystery here that redemption must first deal with the spirit, the soul. Right? Are we all redeemed now? We are redeemed. But what are we waiting for? We are waiting for one thing. The change of the body. The redemption of the body. You see? So redeeming, we know that there is a culture. And of course it's a physical thing. And yet the Bible here shows us, if he is able, he may redeem himself. Which of course we know is not possible. As far as salvation is concerned. In the physical, yes. So when we look at the Redeemer and Kinsman, these people who believe that Jesus Christ was born of the egg of Mary, it's because they want to have a physical genetic tie to Mary and all the way back to Adam. But yet we know in the Bible that Jesus Christ came. Even the Old Testament, you see, it's all about Israel. Right? And except for those Gentiles who wanted to be a proselyte, they go through all the ritual circumcision to be a proselyte into the family of Israel. So that is why we see some mystery of what God is hinting at in the book of Isaiah, that even the Gentile will have the light, because Israel will shine forth. And God has provided this grace towards the Gentile. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were there out there, and God told them, if a stranger wanted to come in and be a proselyte, then you take them in. You understand what I'm saying? So we see there's some kind of mystery hidden. When Jesus came, he said this, I came to seek of the lordship of the house of Israel. And that's why we have these white people, white Christians, extreme group, that believe that Jesus Christ came to save only the white people. When they say white people, it means the Anglo-Saxon blood. Because they believe that these are the pure Israelites. And those Jews over in Israel, they are the bastard. You see. And so we Gentiles will never have this kind of salvation. But according to their teaching, there will be a place for us. You know. And this interesting reading. And that's why when I read that man's article, and I sent it to you, he had a website, and I was told recently that he passed away last 2-3 months ago. But the interesting thing is this, that there are so many things in the website that I read, and I enjoy reading it because I want to see how he presents the Bible, how he presents his doctrine that only Christ came to save the white people, and the white people are the Adamic race. Alright, let us go to Numbers 35:21. Here we also said that the Goa or the Kinsman is also an avenger of blood. Alright? When somebody kills your brother, you must avenge him. Alright? So, Numbers 35 verse 21. Brother Shalom.
Or if enmity smite him with his hand and he dies, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he
will. You see that? So you as a kinsman must avenge him. But yet the Bible in another place, God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You see, that's the culture they have in those days. But later on, God wanted to make people to realize, yes, in the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Eden from the very beginning. Look, when Cain killed Abel, well, he should die, Cain should die, right? But there was no law yet put forth. But it was only later that God said that if a man take another man's blood, by man's hand shall that man be put to death. Isn't it? You see? So, we need to look at timeline. How God deal with people as time moves along. We cannot take a commandment that came later and put it to the beginning. It won't work. And that's why God did not take the life of Cain. But he punished Cain. He had wanted to protect him. You see. So now, let's go to Joshua now. Just look at Joshua. Chapter 20 verse 5.
And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, and they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time.
Now, So you see, it's an avenger of blood. It's still the same word, huh? Avenger of blood is also even the king's one word, Goa, is even used and tied to that. So it's all about responsibility towards your own relative. Even your own kind, the same surname. Even in some kind of old ancient, what do you call, oriental people. You know, I'm Gan. Everyone in Singapore is Gan, is definitely related. Because there's a very small number of Gan people. But as far as Lee Lim is concerned, may not be really related. You know. So it's just that the reason why the Chinese people, the Teochew clan, the Hokkien clan and all this, and they form all this association to bring the people together. To have this bondage together. Their responsibility towards the community. So this is what happened in Old Testament. Alright. So, most of the time when we see in the Bible regarding the word Goa, the one who had the right to redeem. It's all about the custom of avenging the blood of a slain kinsman, therefore he is a blood relative. Okay, Numbers 5, 6, 7, and 8. To read these so that we all can understand the word kinsman and the word redeemer. Numbers chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Speak unto the children of Israel. When a man or woman shall commit any sin that man commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty, then they shall confess their sin which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof, and add unto it the fifth part thereof, and give it unto him against whom he has trespassed. But if the man have no kinsman to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto the Lord, even to the priest, beside the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him.
So now you see that it's all about kinsmen to recompense the trespass. And in the old, those days, you trespass against somebody, Bible talk about restitution. And if they can't do it, somebody else is a kinsman have to do it. You know, restitution in those days, you pay 20% of what, for example, you damage somebody's property. And the whole thing serve you out to be $1,000, you've got another 20%, a fifth part of it to it as well. You see? And that's why over the Old Testament, the law of tithing is just the same. If you do not pay it on time, which is supposed to give to the, those that they pay, of course, but today we don't pay. We give. In those days, they say if they have to pay $100, but they say, Lord, I cannot pay this month, I pay it next month. Next month, you have to top up $220. How is it $220? Simple. Because you owe God $100, on top of that, you have to top up another 20%, a fifth part of it, plus the present month, another $100. You see? So he said, that's fair. So God charged very high tax on it. And that's those days, you see. So God wants to keep the people that they should trust God and live within their means. Your Honor, if you earn so much and then you live beyond your means, of course you'll be in debt. And then this is the way God solves your problem. Put tax on you and see how. And then you will be able to regulate your own life. So there are many verses in the Bible regarding the word Goa, you know, the forming part of a kingsman, sometimes the word Goa is also related to a person who's called an acquaintance or a neighbor or friend, and so on and so forth. So many of them. There are many verses, but we don't need to look through them all. But just to let us let you know, kingsman redeemer is not just about the flesh, it is deeper. Because we understand it from the side of the Lord Jesus Christ came for a bride, came for a woman. Now let me ask this question. Because in teaching I have to ask a question, pose a question for you can think a little bit. Now when Adam was created, he was just a man. And then God put him to sleep and God took from his sight, the Bible says, a rib and flesh thereof. and form a woman and present it to him. So now when we look at it, how do we understand that? As I said, many people in denomination believe that it was a literal rape. Of course, when you take out a rib, the surgeon operated you and tried to cut off a piece of rib, like my younger brother who had, you know, avian flu, and he had to been operated on, and the doctor had, because when you remove part of his lungs, the lungs, the lungs being so small, the rib cage is big, so they have to make the rib cage smaller. So they cut off part of his rib. So when you cut off part of the rib, in real life, in flesh and blood, you take out that rib, what do you have on the rib? There will be flesh attached to it, isn't it? Yeah. So when Jesus broke a rib, when God broke a rib, took a rib from Adam, there must be flesh attached to it. The Bible said, the rib and flesh thereof, and form a woman. Now the question, as I said, I presented this, is it really a literal rib? But many people don't believe so. Because when Adam woke up, he said, "Thou bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Yeah. But is it true? As I said many times when I've been overseas, many of them ask me this question, even during the question and answer. But again, is it true that a man have one rib less than a woman? And I always tell them, is your husband and wife going to count each other's rib and find out? But you see, the question is that all those are expression of relation. You are bone of my bone and flesh of my meat, you are my wife. My son is my flesh and bone. But he is not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Only my wife is bone of my bone and flesh of my bone. But my son is my flesh and blood. Or flesh and bone can be used. Huh? You understand? Yeah, when the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, means to say that we are human, natural. So their terms are different. So when God took a rib out from Adam, it was not really a rib. It was an expression. And what did he take out from Adam? It was the spirit, the feminine spirit of the man. Because God is male and female. When he created Adam as a spirit in the beginning, he was male and female. And that's the reason why in us, we still have this male and female attribute in us. I have male and female attribute in me. Only that I'm a man, the spirit of masculinity comes forth. But in me, I still love feminine things, right? We all do, don't we? Y'all don't love feminine things, some of you men? You don't. What? The only thing, but you act macho with a boxing glove? I love flowers. Yes. I love rainbow and nature. And there are some women, yeah, you also like masculine things, don't you? Huh? Play basketball, you know, or do things that you wanted to do, like this, more the man's side. Even women can do carpentry, which is a man's job. You see? So, that attribute, in the physical, it is the estrogen, which the woman have a whole lot. Men do have a little. And women have testosterone in you too, huh? Don't forget that. And that's why this affinity of men and women wanted to come together. But there's a spirit out there in the world that causes people to act weird. And a man may have a lot of estrogen, and then he stimulates himself to produce more so that, you know, he wants to become a woman. So that is a spirit manifestation that is in the world today. So, when we see that from Adam's side, God took forth the feminine spirit, and we realize there's nothing to do with flesh. Huh? It's only when God threw out the feminine spirit and then make a woman out of the dust of the earth and present it to Adam. Adam did not say, look at her and say, you are dust of the earth. No, he said, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my, because you came from his own side. And from the side of Jesus, that's why we see the blood and water came forth. Huh? And as you said, Jesus already died. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Christ released the Spirit into the hand, Father, I command my Spirit. So he expired. The light went out to prove that he actually died in this physical body. The soldier pierced it, and blood and water so forth came forth. What is the water and blood represent? It represents life. Jesus came not by water only. 1 John. He came by water and blood. He didn't come through a ritual of what the priest is doing, washing and all this. You know how that in any religion, water is always there. The cleansing and the symbolism, right? The Jew all have it. The animal will cleanse. The priest must wash himself. No. Jesus Christ did not come by water and he went to water baptism to be anointed of God. But he also came by blood. That he is physically a human being and he laid out his life to shed that blood and release that spirit of life for you and me. So, how are we Gentile related to Christ? How was he related to Adam? Because he was flesh and blood from his sight, literally? Or was it a spiritual expression? Huh? Do you understand what I'm talking about? My son is my flesh, my bone. But how did I give my bone to him? How did I give my flesh to him? It's an expression of relation, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? The relationship. My brother, my siblings, we are all flesh and bone of my father. That means you are related, that's all. Huh? So you see the expression, we get carried away with looking at something and not realizing. And that's why we Gentiles had a part, because we are related to Jesus Christ. Because he willingly became our Redeemer. Not just to the Jew or Israel alone, but also to the Gentile. This man, as I said, is very extreme, and to claim that, because I don't think it's just he's not just one of them, but there are many churches in America, actually, and I'm not sure about Europe, that claim that the white man, the Anglo-Saxon, are actually the true Israel, the lost ten tribe. The other one is Armstrongism. How many of you have read the magazine called The Trumpet? How many of you? You do? If you're not, then you can go online and subscribe. It's free. It's good reading for what they are writing, just to know. Okay? And so this man said, it must be noticed that there is a great difference between the three principal races of the earth. Oriental, Negro, and Adamic, or Caucasian. There is little relationship between the three because they are not the same species. Each is of a separate genus and history of origin. It is generally accepted that the certain races are older than others. It is generally accepted because it is based on what? Paleontology's theory. Huh? Science has a whole lot of theories. You know that, don't you? And very interesting, because science cannot relate themselves. I mean, scientists cannot relate themselves to God when they deal with this kind of subject. I remember working on Woodbridge Hospital, Manor Hospital, years ago. There was this doctor. He is very much against what we call God, you know, religion thing. He believed that every person who is mentally ill, they are just mentally ill. Something wrong with the brain. Nothing to do with demons. See? And this man here, he wrote this article, he doesn't believe in demons too. And so, you know, there was another doctor who was a Christian doctor. And there was this particular case on a patient who actually I went work there, I realized it was demon possessed. So this doctor put down there schizophrenia, ? Demon possession. Now the other doctor who's more senior came in and on his round, he looked at the case, no, he scripted it out. He said, "What nonsense." I was there. What nonsense about demon possession? That's why I said on Friday, don't be like the brother of mine who think that every person who is mad is demon possessed. No. Because every time you know when they misinterpret or what Brother Brown was saying. We know that every disease, problems, that there is a devil behind. I mean, we can say that. But doesn't mean that if you have cancer, there is a demon in you. But where did cancer come from? Is it because the devil got into you and caused cancer? Or is it because of a genetic problem, because of food we eat, because of the environment? Do you know the problem that we have with cataracts in our eye? Go back years back. Or even a country where people eat good food and not under stress, you find people don't have really a cataract. How come that today in America many people get cataract? And here in Singapore, cataract is on the rise. My father didn't have cataract. You know? But now why do we get cataract? We spend too much time on modern technology. It disturbs our eye. And the food that we eat and the environment is so bad. Now the environment of Singapore is not really as clean as you think. We have problems that come from Indonesia with all that haze. And the food that we eat are many of time, you know, substandard food. But if you want to go and live in a place where people are healthy, eating natural food and all that, no problem. You know? I got cataract probably for one good reason. Two good reasons, I would say. When I was young as a boy in the primary school, I was doing basket, you know, making basket, you know, those cane that we use. When I got up from soaking that cane, when I got up and turned around, here was this student running along the corridor, and when I turned, he banged into me, and the next instant I felt my hand over my eye, and I could feel the swelling just whoop, came up like a golf ball. And since that time, I started wearing glasses. Yeah. You see. And what other reason else do you think I got this cataract? I believe it also because of the, when I had this problem, of a shoe, because a brother from Nigeria came to Singapore and I brought him out and he wanted to buy a pair of sandals, so it was pretty good, so I bought one too. And I wear that sandal most of the time because it's comfortable, but not realizing something, it did something to my heel. I felt the itch, but you know, most of the time we don't take care much of our food. Each one I just, okay, scratch it. Right? But what happened was that the sandal, the chemical, the dye that they to make this leather sandal was rubbing, because there is this, you know, the stitching, the joint where they stitch to from one place to another. It was actually rubbing on the side of my heel. And over time, one day I said, "Why is it so itchy?" And I turned and have a look. There was a big patch of a blister. So I tell you, and there was a lot of water, it flows out. And when I look closer, examining it with a mirror, it looks like a beehive. Lots of little holes inside. It looks ugly. And the following day, my whole body reacts to it. The chemical has gone to my body, and my body is trying to fight it. Until it's too late. Until my hand, following morning I woke up, my hand are all filled with blisters. Even now, until here, until now. And it's very hard to heal this. And the doctor gave me what? Steroid. And steroid is one thing that will cause problem to your eye. So we are into all these things and we don't realize that until it's too late. You know? So, be careful about stirring. So now we look at this reservation now. Each of us, separate genus and history of origin. It is generally accepted that certain races are older than others. The Negro and Australian Aborigines date back 40,000 years. Now, how did he get that? The first time I ever come across this. Okay? And the Oriental about 25,000 years. And some Arabic type about 10,000 years. And finally, the white people about 6,000. Why? Obviously, because 6,000 years ago was Adam created. Remember that God does the creating in each and every instant. With the earliest being the most primitive, of course. You want to make the Negro people, the black people, very primitive because they look like they come from a black monkey. And evolve or something like that. You know, the problem is this, that there's one of the brother. I mean, one of the believers who wrote me in these last several months, when I said this to him, he said, but again, I wasn't into this before. I was part of it, I believe in this, but now I realize it's all not the truth. No wonder the white people are always thinking that they are superior. I mean, a lot of them. Especially when it comes to Christian faith, they want to believe in that. Whether you are the KKK group or whatever supreme group, even now they see in the paper report what they are trying to do. Yeah. And remember that God does the creating in each and every instant, with the earliest being the most primitive and the last, the most advanced. So America is very advanced, isn't it? Even without Israel behind. Where did the bomb come from? The bomb was not by a white man, it was by a Jew. Where did the gunpowder come from? It was a very primitive yellow man who made the gunpowder. Do you know that? The gunpowder is not from America, it's from China. You see? So why they are so advanced? We Chinese people have been building the Great Wall of China. Well, look at that, it stands for so long. One of the seven wonders of the ancient world that still stands next to it was the what? The pyramid. Huh. And the pyramid was built by who? Of course Israel. And of course you say Israel is a white man. Alright. The white race were unquestionably the last comer. Being in every way superior to the other two, appearing suddenly on the historic scene with a high state of civilization, constituting leaders and teachers, the Old Testament gives us the best and the right explanation for the existence and superiority of the Adamic or white race. That is this man's belief. And all those that are in this is just one of the organizations that believe that. All scriptural evidence confirmed Adam as a white man. Oh, wait a minute. Really? Okay, very well you say. Only the white people is capable of blushing, turning rosy cheek, and is publicly called fair skin. Really? So only the white man can blush. Oh, you should see me when I blush. I said, Adam, you see how he turns red, pinky? That is, what are you talking about? What are they talking about? That kind of example they give. Alright, then I said this. I said, well, you know, I wrote in command, Adam could not be a white man. He must be red because his name, Adam, means ruddy. Huh? Ruddy. It means red. So he must be the father of the Red Indians of America. If you have been to America, if you have been to the Indian reservation, you look at them. Their skin is a bit yellow. And their cheeks are always, most of them red. And they look very Chinese. Yeah, that should be the Red Indian, right? They are always red. Yes, that's very true. Look at the Eskimo. Huh? Look at the Chinese. When they are there in the cold country, they are always red. Only white man could blush. Because he is also superior. Because he is positive, godly, pure, good, peaceful, and honorable. This is a quote from his page. So he is positive, godly, pure, good, peaceful, and honorable. Really? Look at the corruption that is going on in America today. They are really? Yeah, they're positive, all right. They always want to be the leader. Oh, good, I know that. They're godly. Wow, really? Where does all that pornography come from? Where did the Playboy magazine start? Huh? Yeah, I know in every country there is all this prostitution. But they don't produce all these magazines like Hollywood, I mean like America producing and publishing and putting it on the store to sell. And then everywhere you can see in America, I believe in most states, most major city, you know, when we were there the first time, the brother took us out in this van up, you know, city of San Francisco, just drive to look at the city in the night while we were waiting for our bags to come out to brought to the hotel because it was locked up in the airport. And he drove us through and we can see the red light district area. We can see, dancing girl on stage or something like that. And it's all over there. Golly! Where did it come from? I mean, he just proclaimed it's a pure. How pure are they? Good, peaceable, peaceful, honorable. America is not peaceful. They always try to be the leader and they just cause trouble and say that they are the peacemaker. Really, I was wondering. You know, Chinese people in China, you go and look into ancient history of China. China never go forward and fight others and claim others. Yeah. And good thing the President Duterte said the right thing. I deal with my country's drug addict trafficking. Drug trafficking issue. But you America, you went up to Panama there and you went to the country there, you caused a lot of trouble. I did not go over to another country. And Duterte spoke that regarding America when they call him a dictator and call him barbaric or whatever. See, so, I mean, this is the claim. Where is the black and the colored are the negative side of this attribute? Poor fellow, he knows only one color and that's white. Because God is light and God is white. Jesus is white, he came only to save the white. Now that's what I'm saying here. If you do not know the doctrine of the serpent seed, he cannot see why the different races. Because he believed, as you know, the Negro and African aborigine date back 40,000 years. The Chinese 25,000, the Arab people or somewhere around those people 10,000, and they, the white one, came only later. Huh. So of course in theory we understand God created the smallest and the primitive creature to the highest, all right, from the beginning going up to the later stage. So the later that you are created, the more advanced you are. It's just like technology. God is experimenting. You know. First created, you know, how a monkey will look like, how you will react. Maybe then he created a black man. And then he created a yellow man. Then he created a superior race, the white one. Hi, I created this person. Some people are looking at the parallelism, okay? Because it's a powerful nation. America is a powerful nation. So we have Israel. They look at Israel, how God dealt with Israel. Israel was a powerful nation. Oh yes, of course. You know, and also like Israel, it was a house divided. Look at America. It was a house divided. Democratic and the other party, what is the other one? Republicans. They all have a mess. They are a mess. And also now with the CIA and the FBI, and, well, they're all fighting among themselves. Good president, bad president. Of course, just like Israel. Good king, bad king. That's what they're parallel. How many flag? I mean, the flag of America. How many stripes are there? 13. They are turning stripes. How many stars were there? 50. Before that, when they first founded America, they are turning stripes because there are 13 colonies. How many stars were there? There were 13 stars. Represent new constellation, a rising nation. Israel, how many tribes are there? 12 plus 1, 13. They removed Levi to be the priest. Joseph removed, replaced his two sons, right? Ephraim and Manasseh. So 12 plus 13. And they turned to some kind of parallelism and said, that's what we are. Yeah. But let me look at this. Is it true that God created Negro first, and then the Australian and the Barbarian origin, and then you have the Oriental, and then the Arabic, and then Haiti? Do we read that in the Bible? This fellow is trying to prove. You know, he wanted to prove. Even his was an article was very interesting that he wrote about the madman of Gadara. And he's trying to prove that there is no demon possession. That man was just mad. And Jesus was asking, what's your name? The man said, I'm Legion. It's not that the devil was speaking, that he was a legion of them inside him. He was legion because he was some kind of a leader in the Roman army. Called Roman army, they have this legion. Interesting how he tried to prove. He said, I can show you the scripture. But here, when can he show the scripture? Can he show the scripture? Is that such a thing? That the Negro and Australian aborigine came first. Then the Chinese. Then the yellow people, the Asian people. And then the Arabic, and then the Aramaic. No. Question is this. From Genesis, you start reading. Of course, we know that there are people who believe that the earth is only 6,000 years old. But we know that it is longer than that. But we know that verse 1 and 2, there is the mystery gap. A lot of people don't believe in it. Okay. But if anything makes sense, then we know about the fall of Lucifer. But a lot of people don't believe in that either. But when we read it, we read that there was a flood. Isn't it? How many people went into the ark? How many souls went into the ark? Come on. Eight souls. Four men, four women, four couples. Noah and his wife. Japheth, Shem, and Ham. Then their wives. They came out of the ark after more than a year. What did the Bible say then regarding the population of the earth? Genesis. Read that verse. Chapter 9. Verse 19. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. He only mentioned Bible specific. These are the three sons of Noah. Okay? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And of them was the whole earth overspread. He didn't even mention Noah. Noah and his wife did not produce any more children. But there are Christians who believe Naaman was not his first wife. You know? That means to say that there are some other souls that went into the ark. Now here in Singapore, some of the brand of my preacher out there, I mean, who disagree with what I believe about Canaan, and believe that there are certain sick people on earth today. Yeah, I have discussions with some of them, people from other countries. How did the serpent seed get over the flood? They come from Abraham and they don't know how to explain it. They say, well, you know, one of the women got pregnant by a serpent man. Because when you declare good enough, if one of the wives of the three sons got pregnant by the serpent, that means she going to fornicate, right? And then went into the ark. How many years, how long were they in the ark before they left the ark? 1 year! 1 year, 1 month, I think, and 10 days. You can read it. How long does it, from conception to the birth of a child, how long was it? 9 months. But the Bible said 8 souls came out. 8 souls went into the ark, 8 souls came out. Oh, but the Bible don't tell you because God is hiding it. God is hiding. You know, and the serpent said, hide inside the ark. Whoa. Now, you are trying to twist this scripture to try to prove something. The Bible said, it went in, it came out. The Bible is clear about it. And no, and the Bible still states that all the population of the earth today are traced back to the three sons of Noah. That's it. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Noah and his wife did not have any more children. So we all traced back to the three sons. So how is it possible then that there was this Negro race? If this Negro race were before the flood, how is it that they survived the flood? How did they survive the flood, right? If they are on earth today, right? And all those that went into the ark are Adamic people, according to him. Then how did the Chinese who are on the earth survive? How did the aborigines survive? One theory, the flood is not universal. The flood is only localized in that area. Wow. You know? If it localized in that area, how is it that it takes more than a year before the water subsides? You see, we have problems with all sorts of this theory. Because they want to make Adam white people. They want to make Jesus only related to Israel. Therefore, he must be born of the egg of Mary. And we know that this all falls apart when it comes to the scripture. Do you understand what this whole thing is about now? Alright, let's go on. The next question that is asked is, what sort of offering? Now we realize that when sin came into the world, the serpent seed created this problem. The reason why we have all these different races of people was because of the hybrid. Now let's look for example. Let's look at this very carefully. The Bible in Genesis chapter 6 said that there were giants in those days before and after the flood. Right? Now, if the flood destroyed all the serpent seed, how did the serpent seed get across the flood? Now, when Brother Brown talks about, pose this kind of question, how did the serpent seed get across the flood? Now we must understand when we talk about serpent seed, it's just a term. Because even today there are people say that there are physical serpent people here on earth. No. But there are serpent seed on earth, yes. Religiously. Because in the day of Jesus Christ, the serpent seed people were those, the Pharisees, the religious people who opposed the word of God. When you oppose the word, the serpent came to twist God's word. That's why he came to tempt Eve and seduce Eve. Have God said. Right? Have God said. A statement, God have said, become a question. Have God said. By moving one word, and all the whole three words produce a different sort of a statement. One is a statement, period. God have said. The other become, have God said a question? Oh. So then you must understand So when we talk about seven sick people today, we should not be referring to physical. But their brother might have said they are physical. No. They are religious, opposing the word of God. I'm not talking about the Hindu or the pagan out there. They don't believe in Christ. Nothing to do with that. It's talking about those who claim to believe the word. They are the Pharisees and Sadducees. That's why James talked about war among yourself. Huh? And even the disciple of Jesus, one of them is anti word against Christ when he betrayed him. So then, if God sent the flood to destroy all those serpent seed people, there can be no physical serpent seed today. The three sons of Noah, their own wife, if they were to propagate the earth, there will be no what? There will be no genetic problem in this world. There will be no extremity of giants and dwarfs. There will be no problem about Siamese twins. But that discrepancy came in through Ham having incest with the mother. When Ham has incest with the mother, it produces Canaan. Remember? Right. Now, when that happened, you find that the mother is already a Canaanite. A Canaanite. A daughter that descends from Cain's line. And Ham is already half of what the mother gave him through the father as well. But now you have this mother and son relationship. It produces a child that's a bastard. And that child had this gene that later on in the third generation produces giants. Now that descendant, later on, it mixed with other races over time. The gene. Remember that Canaan has its children as well. And then it mixed over the period of generation of time. Intermarried. That's why the Bible tells us to stick to our own kind. But apparently it's only when God dealt with Israel, but not in spiritually that applied to us, that we should not marry outside of what is our faith. Because we have religious conflict. You see. But when you have physical marriage like that, the gene will alter. Not only get giant, you get dwarf. Now in the Bible there's no mention of dwarfism. Huh? But you see giantism. But where did this dwarf image come from? Because of the overtime of mixing of genes. But where does the black color come from? What about the yellow? Where does the yellow come from? It is all because of the soil. We are what we eat. And God has put in the gene that we can adapt. If you ask me to live in Greenland now or in Alaska, I'll die. Because I hate the cold, I will be shivering. And it's funny when you're old like this, but when you are young, if you are a teenager, go and live there from a equatorial region, go and live up there in those cold places, like Europe, like Norway or Scandinavia, you will be able to adapt over time. The body, God has put this, all this You know, adaptation in the gene, in the DNA, so that we can adapt. And that's why the migration of man, when people migrate to Africa, and the food that they eat changes them. And you know what African people eat? Where does the kinky hair come from? The food is the issue. How did you get healthy hair? How did you get bad hair? People have hair dropping was because of what? Not because old age is one issue, but because there is a lack of certain vitamins and minerals. Have you ever wondered why your nails are brittle when you are even young? There is something lacking. Zinc or copper, what, something else that was missing. So we need to understand this. So that is why we have the Indian, the African, the Chinese. The Arabic race is not a white race. The Arabic race is a ruddy race. And you find them of the color out there in the Mediterranean. They are not white. And if you look into closely in the history, they don't have blue eyes. There was a movie made of Jesus Christ. And the actor, I can't remember the actor, he has blue eyes. Wow, they're handsome. No blue eyes, very attractive, you know. You have some blue eyes? I fall in love with blue eyes when the eyes are so blue. It looks nice. But we have a green one. You don't like the green one. And you have Jesus acting, you know, man acting, actor acting as Jesus, blue eyes. The Shalit people do not have that. Only the Chavati people. Over in South Asia. That's why we are either having mixed with the Shamite, and most of us over on this side, we all have brown eyes, black eyes. We don't have yellow hair, but now that we have the artificial one. Red hair and all that. No, we don't have it. We Asians have only one hair. So the same with Israel. Black hair, dark brown hair. Black eyes, dark brown eyes. Only the Japanese people have it. When they migrate over to the cold land. I don't know what happened, how God created that, the gene that is there, the food that they eat, they changed. You see that? And the same thing with Asian over here. And you know what? The brother and the wife came one time from Sri Lanka and asked me, he said, "Brother Ken, when I, you know, the first time they came here, the wife asked me, he said, how come the woman here in Singapore also slim? You know," I said, "and how the we are in Sri Lanka, many of us are a little plump." I said, "Because of what you eat. Obviously, right? Here, what do we eat? And look at America. How come they are so big? Many of them. Obese, many of them, really overweight. What did they eat? And what do we eat here?" You know, when I went over to Japan, I hardly see a man or woman that is big. Here, you may see one in a few hundred and it's really big. But very few, right? Oh yeah, in the Philippines, many of them really plumpy. Why? Because you follow the American lifestyle. Isn't that right? Think about it. You see, the Spanish that were there, the Portuguese that were there, the Dutch that were there, the influence of, you know, of this nation, you know, food that you eat. So now the question is, what did Abel offer sacrifice? Since he did not have the spongy, what is that to redeem? That kind of question comes up, and I don't know whether I ask for the sake of asking or ask because I really want to find out. The question should be, what sort of offering did Abel offer? We know that he did not have the supernatural nature. So the thing about it is that, you know, sin is not about the original sin. Because we have the serpent seed, the serpent gene in us. The serpent gene came only because of the mixture. But go back So the days when Adam sinned, the Bible said, by one man, sin came into the world. Right? So Adam's sin and death passed upon all men. So Adam sinned. God imputed sin. The brother said, no, God did not impute Adam's sin. I know that Adam sinned. Well, what sort of sin did Adam commit? And the same thing goes for Abraham. The Bible says, God, Abraham believed in God, and it was imputed upon him righteousness. So what? How righteous was Adam? Huh? That he become righteous. It was because he believed God. God gave him, ascribed him righteousness. Adam sinned, but what kind of sin did Adam commit? That God imputed sin upon him. And that's a mystery that we already realize. That Adam did what he must do to save his wife. Let's go to the Bible. Genesis 4, 3 to 4. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought forth of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. You know the difference between the two offerings. One was a vegetation, the other one was a blood offering. Alright. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lie at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now this is also a part of mystery that a lot of people don't understand. It has been common teaching that God said to Cain, because if you have done well, be accepted. Because you didn't do well, sin is still there in your heart. That's not what it means. The word sin here in the Bible in Hebrew is kata. It's the same word for sin offering. I sin. I have kata God, against God. So, I offer a sin offering. He took my place. My sin is upon the sin offering, that animal. That animal took my sin, so he is also cut off. Transferred from me to him. The same thing is our sin was transferred to Jesus Christ at Calvary. Same word. Sin can be used with the word sin offering. Okay, the God is telling sin offering lying at the door, means right in front of you. You only my expression, it's at the door. Right at the door. Right there before you. Open it and take it. Go, seize it. Because he says, unto thee shall be his desire. Your desire. He will take that animal, he will be granted to you. You take him. And thou shalt rule over him. You do whatever you want with him. It's your desire to do with it. But Cain spurned it. But not so with Abraham. Remember Abraham? Wanted to slay Isaac? God stopped him. Because he told Isaac, God will provide. And you are it. But he wanted to sacrifice Isaac, God stopped him. And later on, he turned around and looked, there was a ram caught in the thick of the bush. Sin offering right there at the door. Take it and offer it to God. God provided. Because Abraham said, God will provide. The man of faith, God asked him to sacrifice Isaac to test him. And Abraham knew about all that God wanted to do with him. He promised the son's not going to die. I will kill him. I will slaughter him. I will sacrifice him. But he will rise again. Because Isaac represents Christ, right? You see? God wouldn't allow that. Because the true sacrifice will come later. But in the meantime, because he said that God will provide, there it is. The ram. Take it. and sacrifice it in place of Isaac. That's why Israel would have to do that every year in place of the coming Messiah until the Messiah comes. Romans 2:7, to them who by patience continue in well doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. To them who by patience, to all of you here, are you patient? No, some of you are not. To them who by patience continue in well doing. So why did he need to offer a sacrifice? In well doing, he offered a sacrifice to God, because after all he knew what the Father did, what happened in the garden. You know, my Father had trespassed and death fall upon me. But in well doing, he offered a sacrifice. 1 Peter 4:19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well doing, unto a faithful Creator. In well doing. How many of you are doing well? I'm doing very well in my business. No, I don't mean that. Are you doing well in as a Christian? Huh? That everything around us happened and we are got affected, we start scolding people, grumbling, complaining. That's not well doing. Thing doesn't look good. We grumble. So Rolly has been applying for a job for how many years now, brother? 2 years. Did you grumble? No. You know, God, I want a job. What can you give me a job? And he went for an interview with the guy. This interview is useless. You know, give me the job. You think I'm useless. Blah, blah, blah. You complain this and that and all this. We complain about neighbor. We complain about everything. The boss late. The train's late. People are not giving up the seat for me. I'm an old man. You grumble a lot. Everything we have as a Christian, let us, you know, commit our soul to him and well to him, living that life. So, you know, go to Leviticus chapter 2 now. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. I want someone to read that. So that in this we can understand that this offering, charcoal offering or the sin offering, or sin, is sometimes seen as an offering of atonement for an intentional sin. That's why when we talk about burnt offering and sin offering, we need to understand what they are all for. Okay? Leviticus 4, 2 and 3. Brother Henry.
Leviticus chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord, concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he have sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering.
The next, verse 20, Brother Henry.
4:20. And when he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering, so shall he do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them and shall be forgiven them.
Right. Even though whether you sin ignorant or not, you know, you still perform this, it's still the same sin offering. Alright. Okay. Then now we can go to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Sometimes this offering is offered up also as a guilt offering. Okay? Guilty offering. And this reminds me of someone who performed that. And that's Job. Because of what his son did, right? He was doing for them. Okay. Leviticus 4:13-14. Brother Henry, again read it.
Leviticus 4:13-14. And if the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, and the things be hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should not be done and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation.
Yeah, so if you sin ignorantly, then you did not know that you have sinned, and let all your father, oh, you did it. Now what do you do? Offer a sin offering. Okay. And Leviticus 25:26. So when you burn this off, this sin offering as also a burnt offering, and also need at the same time a peace offering with God. Leviticus 4:25-26. Baruch Shalom.
And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and he shall be forgiven him.
Right. And sometimes, of course, the offering they are offered also because of ritual impurity, which you can read in chapter 5, verse 1 to 3. But we're not going to read them. But anyway, the whole thing is this. Burnt offering was for general atonement. Now, when they sacrifice the offering of sin offering, they are also burnt up. So it's also a burnt offering to the Lord. And as an expression of God, of their devotion to God. And which we find, of course, Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. You can use sheep or goat or dove or pigeon. The animal must be burned throughout the whole, completely whole, overnight. Okay? Leviticus 1, 3 to 4. Chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Okay, brother, read it.
If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the head, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him.
Right. So now, these are some examples of burnt offering. Now look at one I mentioned about Job. Go to Job chapter 1 verse 5.
Job chapter 1 verse 5. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. So thus did Job continually.
You see, because Job, you know, Job is the oldest book in the Bible, you know. And because he loved God. And then we are sure, when he sees the son behaving like that, you know, gallivanting and, you know, quite wicked in his their behavior. And so much so that he, at all, you know, because of his devotion to God, he cares for his children. So he burnt offering to God. Just to be at peace with the Lord. And also for the son. Alright? And then we have Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. Genesis chapter 8 verse 20. Here we see Noah. Read that. Genesis 8 verse 20.
And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and of burnt offerings on the altar.
Yep. So after the flood, they came all the, yeah, they took the clean animal, unclean, you know, the person, offered it to the Lord. You see. That's God. That's Noah, because it was his devotion to the Lord. So you have all kinds of offering: the Bible, grain offering, peace offering, trespass offering, thanksgiving offering, wave offering, free will offering. So what kind of offering then did Abel offer to the Lord? It was a sin offering as well as a burnt offering. It may even have been said it's a trespass offering, because mother and father have trespassed against God. And because of his devotion to the Lord, he offered to the Lord a reminder of his of what happened, and that he is vulnerable, and death was upon him, and his life is in God's hand. People worshipped there in those days before this law came in, that we read all in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all these other books. There was no law. God did not say to Adam, you must do this, you must do that. Adam did it. Abel did it. Abraham did it. Noah did it because of their relationship to God. So what is your relationship to God? Do you only worship God once a year? Once a month? Or is there a relationship to God that you can offer up praises of thanksgiving? In the morning you get up, like the human egg, Sister Mary sending out. Get up in the morning. Good morning, Lord. And not say get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. You know, that's very true. Because how do we react ourselves to the Lord? You get up in the grumpy morning, and days went by, and you grumble and you grumble and you grumble and grumble. Yep, there's a song that we used to sing, Grumbling Family. Grumble from morning to night, grumble from Monday to Sunday, grumble the whole week long. That's right. So this offering is just a natural offering of devotion. That's what it is all about. I will close with it, but let me say this just for you to think about. When Ham committed incest with the mother and produced Cain, what is the relationship of Canaan to Naaman? He called his Canaan called Naaman. What? How did he call him? Mom or grandma? I think about it, right? Huh? And what about the relation of him to him? Yeah, brother. Huh? What about to his other brothers? Ham's other brothers. Have you heard about the song I'm my own grandpa? It just happened like this. You see? That's why incest is a terrible sin. Lord, it brings forth a lot of discrepancy, bad blood. Even though the time the Lord didn't come in, but already God was, it's against it genetically, we know it cannot be done. See? So now, close the series so we can understand that Adam is not a white man. Neither was Jesus Christ a white man. Neither was Jesus Christ genetically by blood tie, literal blood tie, to the egg of Mary. Our relation to Jesus Christ was not by blood, but by spirit. And when he released that spirit, because he shed his blood, then we are related to him because we took his blood. But he was the one who came to identify with us. I am your kinsman. And in so doing, he became a redeemer. Isn't it? What was Jesus' God's relation to the Israel? Was it because he was blood tied literally by the egg of Mary all the way to Adam, all the way to Judah to Adam? Then the same with every one of us then. Right? But actually, in fact, we know. Even as much as there is this Adamic race, every one of us come over this side of the flood are never really truly Adamic. Because the Adamic race before the flood, every one of them do not have serpent blood in them. Is that right? All that static line, they are pure. until the Celtic people cross over and intermarried with the Kinnick. They cross intermarried, they cross breed over each other. So over this part of the flood, we came from nowhere and Naama. And because Naama was not pure, then how can we be pure? How can we be called Adamic? We cannot be called Adamic. And when Jesus came this side, over this side, if he traces back to Mary, he can go so far as to where? Shem's line. Right? But we understand that the first man, first Adam, second man, last Adam, refer to something that had nothing to do with the blood tie. And because God wanted to save us, he wanted the people. That's why Jesus Christ became our kinsman. He became our redeemer. He became our sin offering. And all our sin is transferred over to him at Calvary's cross. That's it. And the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. We commit all things to you, Father, for what we have received from you. And as much as the Lord, the example of those before the law was ever given, who burnt offering and sacrifices to you of their free will and of their devotion, may we do so likewise, Father. We ask for your grace to always be with us and get us through, Father, in this life. When we see the world in this mess and we are just waiting for the coming of the Lord, may we be prepared, Lord, and make ready as bride and as a wife, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Bless the word that we receive. In Jesus' name, amen.